You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. Good morning, Tina.
Hi, Katrina. How are you?
I'm great. Everybody, welcome to In the Garden with Katrina and Tina. Welcome, November.
I know. Can you believe the year is almost over?
I don't know how that happened.
I don't either. But every year it seems to happen faster. And I know when November comes, I'm like, okay, gonna do a few more things in the garden, and then it'll be the holidays, and the garden will probably be on its own. But let's talk today about what we can get done in November before the holiday rush.
I know. Isn't it nice? Everything's cooling off.
Oh, I love it because the summer was so, so darn hot.
Oh, my Lord.
The garden, my garden anyway, really suffered from all of that heat.
Well, you know what I had this year is I had so many of my blossoms drop off the tomatoes. You know, I live a bit inland, and I get all these blossoms, and then they gets hot, and then they drop, and then they get all these blossoms, and then we had another heat wave, and they drop. But, you know, it's part of gardening, right?
It is. You know, you can't fight Mother Nature, and all you do is roll with it, and now I'm having a second flush or a final flush of tomatoes probably before the weather gets too cold. And I heard you had a huge flush of tomatoes.
About time. And I also noticed they're getting riper so much slower.
Yeah.
You know, it's just without the sun and how many hours in the day, you know, shorter days, it's just taking so much longer, but it's nice still having them.
Yeah, for sure. I have blossoms and some green ones on mine, and we're getting ready for a little party, and so my husband was saying, oh, let's pull these out, and I'm like, no, because once you pull the tomatoes out, you have to wait all the way till, you know, next summer before you have new ones, so I don't want to give up my last few.
I'm the same way. You know what I did this year, though? I planted some late, and they're the ones, I'm just, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but it's my second and third planting. And those are the ones that are just coming in.
They're I'm
just
so jealous because I have done that in years past, but we were traveling this summer, so I didn't do it.
I mean, life got in the way.
Right.
And it does. You know, so gardeners, life gets in the way, and that's okay.
That's right. But it is November, and hopefully last month everybody started planting their cool season stuff, both in the veggie garden and the flower garden. Now, you have so much summer stuff still going on. Have you been able to plant any cool season stuff?
Well, you know, we have room.
You do.
You know, so I have a lot of summer stuff, but then when things, I pulled up plants and some tomatoes that were older and things that didn't produce, and I threatened a couple tomatoes that I was going to pull them out, so they started producing. That's funny how that happens, but we have room. What are your I love winter vegetables.
I do, too, and I love them because I really enjoy having access to, instead of waiting, like for the tomatoes, you plant them and the peppers, and you plant them, and then you have to wait and wait and wait and wait before you finally get the fruit, right? Because the plant has to get to a certain size, and it has to flower and set the fruit, and it has to ripen. But in the fall with the winter stuff, you're planting a lot of greens, and those you can, if you start from six packs, I basically start harvesting 2 weeks later by cutting the outer leaves, and you know, then you've got fresh salad within 2 weeks of planting it, which is quite rewarding.
Yes, isn't that wonderful? And what are your favorite greens to plant?
My favorite is blue curly kale. I've mentioned that one before. And one of the reasons I like it is because the plant lasts forever. I just pulled out a three-year-old one last week. And my son, who has been a gardener, his own vegetable garden for a couple of years now, was saying, Mom, I know I'm supposed to switch over to new stuff for the cool season. He says, but my kale that I planted last cool season is still going. Do I have to pull it out? Like, no, you don't have to pull it out. So that's one reason I like kale, is because it just lasts for a very long time. Eventually, they will try to flower, or they'll get inundated with aphids. But I had this last batch of kale lasted for three seasons, which was kind of crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
But it does.
It does. And the other reason that I like it is it doesn't get bothered by pests. Aphids occasionally, but in general, it doesn't get bothered by pests.
Yeah. I've had aphids on some.
Yeah.
So just, but they're so easy to grow. You know, the biggest mistake I've made is I've tried to save too many plants.
Yes.
When it's so much easier just to take them out, be a little brutal, and start all over again because they come so quickly.
And they do. And then I also love arugula, which I generally plant from seed, and I just broadcast sow that. And if you're new to the show and don't know what that means, you prepare your soil, get it nice and crumbly, dig amendment into it and some organic fertilizer, rake it out, and then you just take your seeds, like I like to broadcast sow several lettuce seeds, but particularly arugula, and you just gently, evenly just kind of toss them with your hand. As I'm doing, as you can't see because it's radio, but I'm...
I get it.
you just literally broadcast means sow in a larger area and then gently cover to the depth that the package tells you, which is usually about a quarter of an inch, eighth to a quarter of an inch, and then just gently water it. And you won't have the arugula in nice, neat rows, but arugula is best eaten when it's harvested young. It doesn't want to be a head, like a head of lettuce. So what I do for that is I just take scissors and I go out there and snip, you know, enough mm-hmm. arugula leaves for the salad or whatever I'm making. And then I just keep re-sowing it, you know, every month or so through the cool season.
And that that's
way
wonderful.
I have fresh arugula as long as possible. And don't sow too much at once because, like I said, you want to eat arugula young, and it does tend to want to set a flower, and you want to clip it and eat it before it sets that flower. So I do little, I probably do like 2 by 3 foot squares when mm-hmm. I broadcast sow.
And then how far down the line do you plant them again?
About every month.
Yeah.
Yeah, about every month. And if I don't get around to it, whenever I get around to it. So I love those two. And then, of course, there's so many different lettuces. I like Butterhead, Romaine are two of my favorites to grow.
Do you pick your Romaine before it starts, like, clumping up?
Yes.
I tend to pick the outside leaves.
I do all of my lettuce the outside leaf harvesting method just because I have 3 raised beds only, and so I don't have, you know, a huge garden where I can let them all turn into heads.
I tend to like them better, too.
Do you? The younger leaves?
I like the younger leaves, and then I could have them. I don't have to wait. You
True.
Know, you just go down there and say, well, what do I want?
Yeah.
And picking it, and then they keep going.
Exactly. And the other thing that I do like to plant are some of the colored lettuces. Like, I'd love to have a purple, you know, ruffled lettuce. Or sometimes you can find the ones that are almost variegated. They have green and, you know, purple through them. And it's not that I grow those necessarily for the taste, but I love the way it looks in a salad. I love when you have the purple mixed in with the greens. I just think it makes your salad more...
Oh, it's beautiful.
More fun.
It's healthy. And, you know, we always talk about our vegetable gardens, but one thing you could do, if you don't have a vegetable garden, you could plant some of this stuff in your front flower bed.
Absolutely.
You know, I plant things in the front flower bed, and people are like, what is that? And, you know, so you could make a little space for whatever you're doing. You don't have to have a full-on vegetable garden like Tina and I do. A lot of places here in Orange County don't have that. And you could have a pot and plant some lettuce.
Lettuce is the ideal thing to plant in a flower bed. It actually just adds a little texture from
it's
a visual
beautiful.
Standpoint. And then you can go out and harvest lettuce. And lettuce loves pots. Lettuce is very happy in pots.
If you live in an apartment or a condo and you have a deck, you get some sun, you could have a salad bowl.
In fact, we do a class. You can take a look at the Master Gardener website. On occasion, we do a salad bowl garden class. I think we did one recently at a library where it was a make and take, and people could... actually plant and take home a salad bowl. We try and make it fun by getting bowl-shaped pots, and then you can plant about 6 plants in one of those 14-inch bowl-shaped pots. And so you literally take your salad bowl home growing your salad.
And it doesn't take space.
No.
You know, it really doesn't take space, and you have something healthy, and you know, when we get to talking about presents later, that could be a really nice present you give people.
Exactly. And it's a fun activity to do with kids. You know, you can get, you know, buy four of those plastic 14-inch salad bowl, you know, pots, and have a little activity for your kids and their friends.
Oh, and it's so cute when they start growing.
Oh, yeah. And then they can do things like, you know, paint tags, you know, to identify what they're growing and put that in their pot.
You just have to be a little careful how many seeds they plant. You might have to help them a bit depending on that age,
yes,
because they could dump the whole thing in one spot. But just be aware, but that's, you know, another fun thing. But
and it's a good lesson to, a good way to teach them how things grow, because they'll see the seeds germinate and then they'll see the lettuce plants get to, you know, 2 or 3 inches tall. And what you can teach them is that they can then pick those 2 or 3 inch tall plants and basically thin the number of plants that are in their pot. And then you can take those thinnings in and add that to a salad that you're making at home, and you'll have baby lettuce in your...
And they were part of it.
And they were part of it. And then eventually you'll want to thin it so that you just have, you know, 6 or 8 lettuce plants in there. But in the meantime, the kids are seeing the whole process of growth and how you can eat it.
And, you know, it's a great way to get kids to eat vegetables.
Oh.
Not all kids will eat vegetables, but if they grow it and they have ownership in it, the likelihood is they will eat it more likely. We had, when the kids were younger, we had a single dad call me up and say, "What is this organic thing?" And my kid won't eat vegetables at my house, so they eat at your house. And I put the kids in the garden, and they work the garden. You know, they have to be supervised, but they get to go play in the garden, and then they get to eat what they had in the garden.
And speaking of that, that's a great segue into some other cool season veggies that kids will love to eat. The two that I plant every year for my grandkids particularly are carrots and peas, because those are so fun for kids to pick and eat.
Oh, it's so cute watching them too. And you know what? I might be the biggest kid, because I love homegrown carrots and peas. It's just such a different taste, like all vegetables, but carrots that are sweet. It's like, wow, where did that come from?
Yeah, they're just, and now carrots take a long time to mature. That's almost a 90-day exercise before you get carrots that are regular carrot size. But for that reason, I pretty much just keep carrot seeds planted, you know, pretty much all year round, because that way you always have a steady supply. And again, carrots take up so little space, because think about a mature carrot. Max, it's 1 inch in diameter, right? And so you can plant in a 2-foot by 3-foot space dozens of carrots. Again, good in pots, but for carrots, you would want a deeper pot.
Deep pots,
yeah.
Yes.
But carrots are fabulous, cool season veggies, although I stretch them out and get them to... I don't plant them in the heat of the summer, like July, August, and September, but otherwise, I'm sowing carrot seeds pretty much all year round. Any root vegetables are great for this time of year. Do you do beets?
I have to tell you, I hated beets growing up, because we had beets in the can.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That
My
was
mom
just,
used to fix those with mayonnaise. I thought they were nasty.
Oh, it was right up there with liver. And I didn't want to plant beets. And the first time we planted beets, oh, my gosh. They are so good. You could put them in salads, or you could just slice them. There's so many things you could do with beets. It's just, and it looks beautiful on the plate. And they're easy to grow.
Amazing. And then do you do the different colored ones, or do you stick to the red ones?
Oh, I do different color. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just fun. You know, it's just, it's like we're the big kids, right?
Yeah.
So I like doing the different colored ones. What do you do?
It just depends on the year, you know, whatever I happen to grab. But one of the things I discovered was using the beet greens in your salad.
Oh, yeah.
I love to use the beet greens, because while you're waiting for the beets to come to a mature size, they produce a lot of greens on the top. And so I just love, you know, you don't obviously cut all the greens off, because then the root would quit growing. But to take a couple leaves from, you know, several different beet plants and toss that in your salad is yummy, too.
Oh, and you could steam them or saute them.
Oh, no, I never did that.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things you could do with it. Like when you finally pull up the beets.
Oh, yeah, when the leaves are a little tougher. Steam them. That's
you
a good
can
idea.
Steam them or saute them and put some garlic in them.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some really good. They're really good. They're underrated.
I'll have to try that this year. And then what else? Well, then there's all the coal crop family. So that would be broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and cabbage. Those are also great.
Okay, cool so season. I could talk about broccoli and cauliflower.
Okay.
I love broccoli and cauliflower. I never liked cauliflower when I was a kid. But if you grow it, oh my goodness, it's so tender. And the broccoli, the stems on the broccoli, you know when you buy them in the store, a lot of times you get red of the stems or you have to cut off the outside. Oh, my house, everybody wants to have the broccoli stems because they're so tender. And then the whole plant is phenomenal. I mean, it's like, I just love both of those. And then we plant about every 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't plant them all at one time.
It's and do you do starts or seeds?
I do starts.
Yeah, I
do too. It's just easier because I want to have a rotation.
Right.
And I really want to plant, like, I don't want to have 10 cauliflowers at one, you know, one time or 10 broccoli. I kind of want to have them spaced
right.
out.
You want to do a 6-pack, then wait, and a 6-pack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just easier, and it kind of saves room in the garden. Even though we have a big garden, it's when you're planting so much stuff, you'd run out of room.
Yeah.
And so those are one things I found that it's okay. There's certain things I like to plant by seed, but for me, cauliflower and broccoli are just really easy to buy, and then I can keep rotating.
Right.
You know, it takes up less space because I don't have to wait for them to grow by the seed, and I could just keep adding more and more and more.
I agree. I plant the peas and the carrots and lettuce and the beets from seed, but I buy starts for the broccoli.
Now, there's a reason why we plant those by seeds, because if you plant them in 6-packs, you know, they get root bound and they're hard to pull apart, the beets. And, you know, it's really easy to plant certain plants by seed.
That's a good point, Katrina. We should give folks a warning about 6-packs of beets and peas. When you
and carrots.
I never plant carrots from 6-packs.
But I've seen carrots.
Yeah. Don't plant carrots from 6-packs. Plant those from seed. But I have bought 6-packs of beets. But what I do is, because you'll see that there will be 10 beet seedlings in one cell, or maybe even more. And if you just planted that whole cell, picture 10 beets trying to grow to mature size when they're all squished together like that. It's just not going to happen.
It doesn't work out well.
No.
You know, and then when they get bigger, it's just kind of a lump.
Big lump.
And then if you try to separate them, because I've tried to separate them too, because I want to make things as easy as possible, right? It's really hard to separate those guys.
And you can do it. But frankly, it's just easier to do it by seed.
Seed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done it too, and it's worked, but it's like a lot of energy, and sometimes if they're too big, you can't do it.
And also the time frame, the difference, because sometimes you think, oh, I'll get a 6-pack because I'm getting a jump on a mature, you know, vegetable, which is true if you're doing broccoli and cauliflower. But on the beets, you're maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's not much different.
And you will have so much better final product.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things, like you said, broccoli and cauliflower. I'm fine planting those by 6-packs, but there's certain things that you think you're being smart by planting them by 6-packs, like what we just talked about. But in the long term, you don't get as good a plant, and it's more of a hassle, and it's just not worth it, in my opinion.
Right. I agree.
Especially when we have all these nurseries in Orange County, you know, that you can buy seeds from, and there's catalogs online you could buy seeds from. And
well, and that's also, to Katrina's point about planting the different colored beets, you often can't find different colored beets in a 6-pack. So the only way to get the different colors is to get the seed packets and plant the seed packets colors you want.
And the same way with carrots.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, you could get some beautiful carrots if you plant them by seed.
Yeah.
All different colors, the purple and the orange and the white.
Yeah.
You know, just you could have so many different colors and then shapes. You'd have short, fatter ones and long, skinny ones. And, you know, there's so much more choice if you plant by seed.
Do you have a favorite carrot that you plant by seed?
You know, no.
Do you?
I do, actually. I've really had the best luck with the Nantes variety, and it's kind of a medium length. It's not the super long ones, mm-hmm. but it's not the short ones. So it's a really great all-purpose carrot for the kitchen and for fresh eating. So Nantes is the one I like the
Could
best.
You spell that for our
sure.
listening audience?
It's Nantes. So just my personal favorite. I've tried the short ones, but I don't know. Those are just hard to peel, you know, because they're kind of round. And then my soil isn't good enough for the really long ones. They tend to get stunted. So the Nantes is a happy medium.
And you know what I find? Everybody listen to this one. I find out if I pay attention to what Tina's favorites are, that I have a really good luck of success. I have copied you in so many different plants and vegetables because she's tried them. You know, and you might have something different, but she's done enough of this that it's tried and true.
Yeah, and as you garden for a long time, I used to try all sorts of things. And then in the end, you're like, you know, I have limited time. I'm going to do the one that worked the best for me. So that's how I ended up there.
I'm the same way.
So I think we pretty much talked about the veggies, cool season veggies.
Now, do you ever plant flowers in your vegetable garden?
I don't, just because my veggie garden is so small, but if I had a bigger one, I would for sure. But I do plant cool season flowers, and I love planting, you know, the snapdragons and the Iceland poppies and the stock. I love stock. The smell of the stock just makes me so happy. And those I usually do from six packs, unless I'm going to try to grow the tall things, because you can't ever find the tall snapdragons and the tall stock in the nursery. They grow them in the trade so that they bloom, you know, in a six pack, which means the plant has to be fairly short. But if you've ever grown a tall snapdragon or a tall stock in your backyard and you go out there and you see this 3 or 4 foot tall flower, it's just so exciting. So yeah. if you don't mind futzing with seeds, but we actually are too late to do it now. We would have started those seeds back in late August or early September. But still, I went out and got the medium size snapdragons and stock to plant in my garden. Sweet peas, another favorite to plant from seed. Fun for kids because they're big seeds and easy to plant. And they're just so prolific when they bloom. You'll just get...
It smells... If you get the ones that smell, they have a fragrance.
Yeah. It's, in fact, part of the Latin name is odoratus because that type of pea is the one that smells, has an odor, but it's a nice odor.
You know what's nice, too, is they can grow up or they can grow over.
They can, and there are bush types now. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to grow them on a trellis or a fence, you can get bush types. Personally, I like the ones that grow up on a trellis. And I think that's particularly fun to do if you have kids because the trellis will be taller than the kids. And so as they are walking past, the flowers are at their eye level. And the stems are so thin that you can give even little kids safety scissors, and they can pick their own bouquets of sweet peas,
which I think
is a really fun thing for them to do. And, of course, the flowers are at nose level, so they can sniff to their heart's content.
How sweet.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun.
You know, it's nice that you can plant them in bush or you plant them in growing up. And for years I had this wall, and I didn't have much space. And it's about 4 feet off the ground. And I planted sweet peas all the way along it. Mm. And I had this 30, 40 foot wall of just cascading sweet peas.
Oh, how fun.
And it was just, you know, I never, like, what do I put in there? And it gave them a place. I've always grew them up.
Yeah.
I didn't grow them over.
You know, that's a good idea. I have a retaining wall.
That's what I put it in. It was in a retaining wall.
Yeah, and I've never done that. That's a great idea.
And I just had them sweeping over the top. You know those stones, the pavement stones that you kept layering?
Right.
I just planted it along the top, and it flowed over the top of it.
I think I'm going to try that. This is why I like doing this show, is because we share ideas, and as long as we've been gardening, we still get to try new things.
And there's so many things to try, and then you visit them, and then they're not what you want to do right now, and a few years later, you go, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that? We already did, but, you know, it changed our minds.
Well, the other, just to wrap up, a few other cool season flowers to plant, calendula, if you like oranges and yellows, is great. And calendula petals are also edible, so that's kind of a fun, cool season thing to plant. Anything in the pansy viola family, those flowers are also edible. And those, of course, are fabulous for pots because they stay small. And all of these cool season annuals are great for pots, especially if you choose the shorter snapdragons and stock. It's a good time to plant delphinium, which is a biennial, so it will just grow foliage right now. Same with foxglove. They'll grow foliage now through the fall and winter, and then in the spring you'll get these giant, you know, stalks, the delphinium. And the foxglove just give you, if you want something spectacular in your garden, you know, those can get to be 3-4 feet tall.
Can you tell our audience what a biennial means?
Yeah, a biennial means that it grows foliage in one season and flowers the next season. So it's not an annual like a marigold or a sweet pea or a pansy, which are growing their flowers, and then when the season is over, they're done. And a perennial is something that grows for many years, like Shasta daisies or lavender. You know, those will keep growing for a number of years. It'll bloom only usually once a year, but the plant will last for more than 1 year. Annuals, the plant only lasts for one season. And biennials means it grows foliage one season and then flowers the next season.
Now, let me tell you guys what my problem is with biennials, mm-hmm. is I don't have as much garden space as you do, Tina. So if I have something that's just green for a while, it's taking up space with something that will bloom. So I love those plants, but I'm sitting there going, I don't have much space. And so when you're thinking about how much space you have, you also might want to think about, you know, when does it bloom and how long does it take to bloom? Because I planted them before, and then I have one season, there's this whole area that's, there's nothing in it. But
yeah,
then it's pretty the next year. But what your yard is, your garden is so beautiful because you could plant so, you have enough space to, you know, plant things and let other parts of it grow.
It is. I'm fortunate that way. But one strategy that I do in some of my narrower beds is I put the biennials, like say I'm going to plant foxglove, I put those in the back. And then I put the flowering annuals in front of them. And that way you have something to look at. And then there's just kind of this green plant in the background. But then when it goes, you're like, holy cow, that's amazing.
But the only thing with that is some of us have really narrow beds.
Yeah.
And if you put it in the back, that means that could be half your bed.
Yeah. When I say narrow for me is about 3 feet. Because I have other beds that are like, you know, 6 feet deep.
Yeah.
But if you have a bed that's, you know, 2.5 to 3 feet deep, you can practice that strategy because you would have enough room to layer the plants. But no, it's a dilemma if you just have, you know, a 14-inch wide flower bed. You're going to want something in there that's blooming all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even for me, even like 3 feet, because I want to like do different heights and different flowers. And
yeah.
It's kind of like, what do I stick in there?
Yeah.
So sometimes it's more of a pick and choose for me.
It is. You have to make sad choices when
I know.
You're a gardener.
It's like, oh, why do I want to bloom now and everything be exciting, you know? Yeah. Or do I want it to bloom, be specifically beautiful at another point in time, and they are gorgeous when they go off.
Yeah, they really are.
But guess what time it is, Tina? It is time we have to do our disclaimers. So you are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. Now we're halfway through the show. What should we talk about now?
Well, we have one more planting topic to talk briefly about because we don't want folks to forget that it's the time of year to plant native plants.
Yes.
And so if you are planning on converting part of your garden to native plants, now's the time of year to do it because you want to catch the winter rains. And so early November, or all of November actually, is a great time to plant native plants. Now, when you're going to do that, remember that you can't just take a native plant and plop it into an area of your garden with other plants that need a lot of water, because the native plant isn't going to want as much water.
That's if you're on the same watering system.
Same watering valve.
Station,
whatever you want to call it. So when you plant native plants, they do need to be in an area where they can have a dedicated valve or, you know, sprinkler station. Like station 3 is not going to water as much as station 6, because station 6, maybe you still have lawn, you know. Station 6 is going to have to water your lawn a lot more frequently than your native plants are going to want. So that's just the main thing to remember, is that you have to do a section of your yard in natives that is going to be able to be irrigated properly for the natives and not overwatered.
You know, it's funny because a lot of us think, well, I'm going to plant over here natives, but I'm going to have my flowers over here. And then I did that one time a long time ago, and it was either I was drowning one or cooking the other.
Yeah.
So you just got to look where that system is going off and say, I'm willing to do it here.
And that's what I've done, because you can tell, because I talk about flowers so much that obviously I still have areas of my yard that have a lot of flowers that take more water. But my slope, my side yard, most of my front yard are planted in native or drought-tolerant stuff. And so those sprinkler stations are coming on way less frequently than my flower beds where I grow the
I
have dedicated areas for each type of plant, and I think the garden looks cool. I think it's okay to have different sections, you know, which some sections are drought tolerant and other sections are more colorful.
Well, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, you're thinking about our environment with all, you have a lot of drought tolerant on your property, and then you have this area that has beautiful flowers. So you've cut, put what, 80% or
yeah,
more?
Yeah, probably 75 to 80% is drought tolerant, and then the 20% is my place where I get to play with my.
And if you come to your house, unless you were a real gardener, you wouldn't even think about it, because you walk in and you see these beautiful flowers, and it's just everything is gorgeous, and your natives are beautiful, and you wouldn't think that. It's like, oh my gosh, it's got such an incredible garden. You wouldn't think that 70-75% of it is drought tolerant.
You just have to plan it. And when you do choose your natives, there's lots of flowering ones. So going native doesn't mean that you can't have flowers. There's also many beautiful grasses, which can be just as interesting as flowers.
And they move in the wind.
Yeah.
It's just really pretty. And if you're looking for ideas, a lot of the water districts have wonderful websites which you can go and read about. And it's a great source to go to your water
district. Sure.
And it doesn't have to be your own water district. You know, you can just go to any water district here in Southern California.
To get the information. Yeah.
And just check it out and what works for you.
Yeah.
Another thing about natives.
Yes.
That so right now, if you plant right now, you're not going to worry about it. But they do need water in the wintertime.
Oh, I'm so glad you remembered that.
Okay, everybody thinks you don't need to water them.
Especially next summer, their first summer.
Yeah, so they need water when they're planted, and hopefully they'll get plenty of rain to do that. And next summer, they're babies, you know, so they're going to need attention, or you're going to have a bunch of dead natives next year because they're little. That sounded horrible.
But we know what you mean.
Oh, my God, that sounded bad. So you need to keep them alive. You know, their little root systems aren't very big. So next summer, hopefully remember from now to next summer, but you do need to water them.
Right.
You know, once they get established, it's different.
Right. So I think There's so much stuff online. We could do a whole show on natives. I think we have a show somewhere on our website about natives. But do consider planting them this month if you want to get that done. And then one thing I forgot to talk about when we were talking flowers, silly me, bulbs.
Oh.
When you're planting your cool season flowers, you can also plant the winter growing, blooming bulbs. Like in California, we plant our daffodils, our freesias, our Dutch iris, anemones, ranunculus. All of those things get planted in October and November. So get those in the ground this month.
And Tina, when will they bloom?
The freesias are usually the first to bloom, probably starting in January. And then they're followed. It actually kind of depends on the weather. And then with the daffodils, there are, when you purchase them, you can look for early, mid, or late season daffodils. So they bloom at different times, which is kind of cool to get some of each. And then you have daffodils for a longer time. The Dutch iris, February-ish usually for me. The anemones around the same time. The ranunculus. And then depending on how hot it gets, our bulbs last until end of March-ish. But if we get those, you know, terrible early hot Santa Ana type days, then you might not get them quite that long.
But you know what I love about bulbs? It's like a surprise when they come up. you know, sometimes I haven't taken care of my garden as much as I should have, and all I come home and there's presents in the garden. I go, wow, that's really beautiful. And I was too busy to really nurture the garden, and now I have presents coming up.
Bulbs are foolproof because they are their own package of food. You know, in the bulb, that's its food. And so you don't have to worry about fertilizing it. You plant it at the right depth, which is usually twice as deep as the bulb is tall. And then you forget about them. And then sure enough, you'll see the little bulb green coming up, you know, a month or so later. And then a month or so after that, the flowers. And I think the flowers from those bulbs are the most spectacular flowers in the garden. I mean, think of a ranunculus.
Oh.
It has hundreds of petals in one flower. It's just, and a daffodil looks fake. It's so pristine looking. So if you like color and you like cut flowers, bulbs are fabulous for being cut flowers. And some of them naturalize for a few years anyway. Freesias naturalize like crazy forever. So plant freesias if you want to plant once and forget for years. Dutch iris usually lasts me for a few years, but then they get kind of crowded and die out. And depending on the daffodil, different daffodils or narcissus naturalize and some don't naturalize as well.
But, and it's so nice having plants you don't have to plant.
Oh, and we're going to talk about paper whites next, because we're going to talk about gifts from the garden for the rest of our show, since the holidays are coming. And one of the gifts we're going to talk about is forcing bulbs. And if you end up forcing bulbs, we're going to tell you how to do that in a minute. Don't throw them away after they bloom. I take all of the paper whites, which is a type of narcissus that I force, and I put them out in my garden. I probably have 1,000 out there now because they will grow, and I can see them coming up right now. They're little green tops. So I'll have some blooming in my garden soon. And it's just, you know, why throw them away if you can find a random spot, you know, to stuff them in your garden?
Just stick them. It's beautiful. You know, I've had presents that people have given me, and I just stick them in the garden, and it just comes up, and it's like, I love it. It feels like there's no work. You're like, I can still take their presents, and they're just beautiful.
It seems like your fairy godmother came and gave you flowers.
Tina, you've got me into bulbs. You know that.
Oh, well.
Your love of bulbs. And you guys can't see the smile on her face, but when she talks about certain things, she is just beaming. And bulbs was one of the things you always beam about. Flowers and bulbs.
Yeah, I love flowers. They just make me so happy. But anyway, let's talk about bulbs in a little bit different context. Let's talk about them as gifts.
Okay, gifts from the garden.
Yeah,
right.
So tis the season. We're going to start doing some gift giving, whether it's hostess gifts because we've been invited to someone's home, maybe for Thanksgiving or some other holiday event. And it's always nice to take something with, I think. And at the beginning of November, if you order paper whites and amaryllis, which is another type of bulb, a big bulb, an amaryllis is a bulb that's about, what, 3 inches in diameter?
No, the size of a baseball sometimes.
Yeah, they're
a little smaller.
They're pretty big.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
And they get these spectacular flowers that come in solid colors like red and white and sort of a pinkish. But then they come in these stripes. You can get these candy stripe ones. They're just pink and pale, off-white.
And you get
stripes.
You get some at the local box stores, but if you go on the internet, there's so many choices, and it's incredible.
But like Katrina said, you can find these in the box stores in boxes, literally. These you'll get a box of paper whites and or a single amaryllis bulb, and it will come in a little kit, and it's a forcing kit, and it usually contains a pot, some kind of potting mix. And then this bulb, and what you do is you fill the container with the potting mix and you put the bulbs in and you water it. And lo and behold, that's called forcing bulbs. You have it indoors and you put it in a brightly lit window and you water it and you'll see the greenery come out.
And they're spectacular.
And they're spectacular. And it usually takes about 6 weeks from planting to bloom. So if you want to give these as gifts, planting the first week in November means that they will be blooming about mid-December. So if you're going to someone's home for a holiday party, you could bring one that is either about to bloom or is blooming. So just time when you plant these based on when you want to give them to people. So I have in the past started them as early as in October because I wanted to take them, you know, to a Thanksgiving get together. Mm-hmm. We're a little late for that now, but you could still take it as like a hostess gift at Thanksgiving, because what the hostess will see is the greenery coming out. They won't see the flowers yet, but you can tell them, you know, hey, just put this in a bright window and, you know, in a couple more weeks, you're going to get flowers.
And then they have the present of being able to look at it and watch it grow. And then the mirror, so many people are so surprised what comes out of that plant. It is just, they're huge and they're beautiful and they're stunning. And
they are. It's amazing. The first time I did it, you know, I thought I had the biggest green thumb on the planet, but it has nothing to do with having a green thumb. It's all in the bulb.
It's in the bulb. You stick it in some planting mix. You put a little bit of water. It grows, and it's like you look like you really know what you're doing.
Exactly. You can also just give the kits as gifts. So if you wanted to bring something to a household that, you know, had someone who was a new gardener and maybe had never tried this before, you could just give them the kit and let them plant it. Or if they have kids, you know, kids are always loving, you know, a planting activity. So either plant it yourself and start growing it and then give it as a gift, or just buy them as the kits and give them. Either way, I think is fun. And then another fun thing that I like to do is to give folks an herb basket, because of course we're all going to be cooking, most of us anyway, are going to be cooking a lot over the holidays, and it's kind of fun to cook with fresh herbs as opposed to the dried ones. And you can do a simple herb pot or herb basket in all different kinds of sizes. You know, it can be, I've done them simply as a place marker, you know, for a dinner.
So you're talking about putting them in a small little pot.
Put it in a little pot. And give
decorate
it
decorate the little pot somehow.
Exactly.
Maybe put a little bow or
little
something.
A little bow on it. An individual herb, you know, one parsley plant, you know, whatever. So that's kind of fun as a party favor. But then you can use a skewer stick that's been cut, and your place cards with people's names on, you can punch two holes in them and write the name on the place card and then thread it over the skewer and then stick the skewer in the pot so that people can see, oh, you know, here's my place where the parsley is, and then they get to take, you know, the parsley or whatever.
And then they say, well, of course the gardener did that.
Yes. So that's a fun thing to do. If you're going to someone's home, though, I do like to just get a basket, and then you line the basket with plastic, fill it with potting soil, and plant an assortment of herbs in there, whatever you like. And then I often like to include a recipe that goes with the herbs. So I have a lovely herb yeast roll recipe that uses parsley and chives, parsley, chives, dill, and I think one other thing who I'm drawing a blank on. But in any event, so I choose those herbs, put them in a little basket, and then I print out the recipe for that herb roll dish and put that on a skewer and stick it in. So now they have a little basket that has the herbs and the recipe.
And you can do that for both Thanksgiving and for Christmas.
Exactly.
And just decorate the basket a little different.
Or any, if you go to, we usually have a get together called Open Door in my neighborhood, and everybody brings their own, you know, potluck kind of dish, but we often will bring a little hostess gift. And so I, at the holidays, often bring the little herb basket as the hostess gift when we go to this potluck. It's just, you know, just kind of a nice thing to do for the person who's hosting.
And you know, it's fun. I don't know about you, but I've always, most people bring like a bottle of wine or something, and I'm usually bringing stuff from my garden. You know, and they kind of expect that, don't you, Tina? Like, people are like, well, what's Tina going to bring this time?
For
you know,
sure.
It's unique and special. And
it is. And then if you have folks who are, you know, like bigger time cooks, and you want to bring them something a little more substantial in the way of herbs, you can always get a strawberry pot and make them an herb garden in a strawberry pot itself.
Would you tell us what a strawberry pot is?
Sure. So it's kind of an urn-shaped pot, but it has little cutouts around the whole thing, staggered at different heights. So there's openings all up and down this pot.
Some people would call them strawberry pots,
strawberry too. Pots, yes. And I love them for herb gardens because in a full-size strawberry pot, there's, I think, about 12 openings. And so you can put a dozen, you know, small herb plants in that pot. And basically, you've got, you know, an entire herb garden. And so it's fabulous for people who live in an apartment or a condo, and they really can't have, you know, much of an herb garden because they don't have the space. And this allows them to have all those herbs in one pot. They just need to find, you know, a place on their balcony or deck where they get enough sun. But that's a fun one to do. And I think that it's just a lovely thing for folks to have when they can't have their own garden.
Yeah. And, you know, some of them you could just use up. People love having it on their counter, too, if there's time. You know, to just put, or space to put it on their counter.
Yeah, if they've got
a sunny spot.
If they've got one of those greenhouse windows, especially, they do well on there. But they do struggle a bit if you don't have a window that gets sun.
They get real leggy.
Yeah.
So you want to have, they want sun.
Yeah. So if you don't have a window that gets a good, you know, 4 to 6 hours of sun, then I would probably put it outside.
Or just cook real fast.
Yeah. and then I thought maybe we should talk about gifts to give people who do garden, right?
That's
because this is basically Katrina and my way of hinting. We're going to send this radio show link to our families so that they know what we want for gifts.
You know, that could be a
just
lovely...
Just kidding.
Yeah. It could be a lovely gift, you know, first-time gardener. You know, they're new at gardening. You could do a basket and you could put in all kinds of things, pruners or trowels, maybe a gardening hat. And what else would you put in there?
So every year for, you know, because we'll do each other's stockings, right, in the family. And every year I ask for and get a good pair of gardening gloves, right? Because if you're an avid gardener, you go through gardening gloves like nobody's business, but you hate to spend money on gardening gloves, right? It's like boring to spend money on gardening gloves. You want to spend it on plants. And so every year I put that on my list of stocking stuffers. And so far, every year I get one, and I love it because now I have a new good pair of gardening gloves.
So you drop the hint big enough. This is the one I want.
Yeah,
they know.
Yeah. So that's a good one. And then my two personal favorite tools that I love in the garden, and I already have them, so I don't need them. But if you're looking for things to get, actually three. I'm going to give you three favorite tools. So the first one is a mattock. And I know some people won't be familiar with that term, but it's basically a short-handled hoe. So on one end, it has the hoe-shaped, you know, piece of metal. And the reason I love it is because we think of trowels for digging a hole for a plant, right? But picture the motion that you have to do. That's hard. You're pushing down. You're pulling the soil back up. So ergonomically, it's kind of a lot of effort. But the mattock is like an axe. And so you just take that and you let gravity, you swing your arm down and you let gravity and the sharp edge of that hoe-type edge chop into the ground. And that's how I plant all of my plants.
Could you spell that for us?
Sure. M-A-T-T-O-C-K. Mattock. So look for those. And there are big ones, you know, that look like kind of like an axe, but you just want the handheld one, which is on a little wooden, you
know. It fits better in your stocking.
Yeah. True. True. Then my number two thing that I love is a hori hori knife. You probably have a hori hori knife.
I love my hori hori knife.
Yeah. So a hori hori knife is a Japanese gardener's knife that is a little bit dished, right?
Like slightly, yeah.
Slightly dished, comes to a point, one edge of it is serrated. It usually has markings on it, like for depth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's great for weeding. It's great for planting bulbs and small six-pack plants if the soil is loose. So I love that hori hori knife. So that's my number two. And then my third one is a Japanese weeder.
Oh, I love that. You turned me on to that.
Yeah, and that's a little handheld, hard to describe. It at the end, wooden handle, metal stick, and then at the end of the stick is almost like a bent triangular kind of piece of metal that you
it's
can
kind of like a hoe a little bit.
Like
at
a hoe,
the
but
end.
a little different shape. Yeah.
More
but
of
if
a
if you just Google Japanese weeder, it'll come up and you'll be able to
find it. It's really nice. If you don't, yeah. If you want to get down low and you're working like on your hands or knees or butt or sitting down low, it's easy to get to. And
yeah, I have stepping stones in my garden, so the only way to get the weeds out from between the stepping stones is to sit down. You can't do it standing up with a hoe, you know, a regular hoe. But this Japanese weeder makes really short work of it because you just do a big swipe and it digs out, you know, the whole
area.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Yeah. So those are my three favorites. Do you have any favorites?
Well, I love all of those. I am a big pruner person. I like a really good pair of pruners. And that is probably one of my biggest sayings. I have pruners for big plants and little plants, but I'm always pruning. So a nice quality pair of pruners, some people don't want to spend the money on, you know, for themselves, but it's really nice to have.
Great gift. And if you do, it's also nice to get the little case for it because you can put it on a belt and then you have the holder for it and you can just put the pruners right in that holder and then they're always accessible at your hip. As opposed to like me when I lay them down and then I can't find them again because I've laid them down.
Yeah. That's true. You know what I've also done, and most people won't have this issue, but I have a big backyard and I have a box and I have two vegetable gardens. And this year I kind of pretty much took over the entire vegetable gardens and for my husband, and I put this little box in each vegetable garden, and I have a set of everything in each garden. And
what a good idea.
They don't leave.
What
you know, everything
idea.
Goes back in my little box, and I have a little like place to put it, my box. And I just put things in there, and, you know, my tape, my pruners, my gloves. And, you know, when I'm done gardening, it all goes back there, and then I know where to find it the next day.
That's great. Yeah, what I went to, and this is a great idea for a gift, Katrina started out by saying for a new gardener, you could get them, you know, a bag or a basket and fill it with these assorted tools. But my favorite container that I've now gone to is the tool carriers that you can buy at a big box hardware store that are meant for, you know, somebody who's got their tools, you know, that they're carrying around mm-hmm. with, you know, pliers and hammers and whatever. Well, guess what? Those carrier things work great for garden tools as well, and they're sturdier than the usual garden bags that you get. So I just buy those. You know, they're like, what, black and red? I forget what brand mm-hmm. they are, mm-hmm. but super sturdy. And I have a small one, so when I'm just, like, you know, deadheading and doing small things, I can carry that one. And then I have a bigger, almost bucket-shaped one, you know, that I can put the bigger tools in, like loppers and, you know, pruning saws and stuff like that.
You know, and I think bottom line, we'll all find out what's best for us.
Yeah, everybody's different.
Everybody likes to doing something different. I tend to prune. Like, I start at one side of my garden and I just prune, and then I do something else, and then I come back and do something else. And, you know, and you have your way you keep your stuff, and I keep my stuff in three different places in my yard because it's large.
Because it's a big yard, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big yard.
And two more things to add to that basket or just give as a single gift. Sun shirts, because keep having to have things cut out off my skin in my old age, I wish I had worn sun shirts when I was younger. So if you've got a gardener, a good sun shirt is nice. And then the other thing that I have started using more is an apron with pockets. You can get gardening aprons that are really sturdy, because those are kind of nice to just have an apron on when you're going to go out in the garden and just even pick things, but you don't want to get dirty. You know, you can just throw the apron on while you're picking Katrina's bushels of tomatoes.
Sometimes, yes. And, you know, and when you talk about sun shirts, there's companies out there now that have SPF in the sun shirts.
Yes.
And there's also companies out there that are mosquito and fly.
Oh.
That's already permeated into the shirt that you have.
I don't have any of those.
Oh, I'll tell you all about that.
Yeah. Will you hint to my husband I want one of those for Christmas?
I'll hint to you. I'll text him. Here's the website, dear. But it's really, you know, we're going to be going to Africa. And so we're going to be where, you know, malaria is very high, and, you know, it's not, and we've done a lot of backpacking. So I really like that lightweight, you know, sun protection with mosquitoes and flies. And it's just a nice thing, and it lasts about 70 loads.
Nice.
So it keeps it in there. You don't have to buy anything to spray on. And, you know, sometimes we just have problems with some mosquitoes and with what's going on out there. It's nice to be a little bit protective.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I'm going to put that on my Christmas list.
There we go. Well, Tina, we have just a couple minutes left, so we need to sign off. Any last thoughts?
No, I think the main thing that I would say is have a great holiday season.
Yes, have fun.
Don't stress over your garden. Just enjoy the people, and it will all be super fun. Your garden will be there in January, and we'll talk to you about what to do in January then.
Sounds great. All right. Have a happy holidays.
Thanks. Same to you.